Welcome to the podcast of Data and Analytics in Business. We'll learn from the leading industry experts using data and analytics to solve the problems and create values in practice. We'll also learn where the industry is heading to and how data and analytics will shape the industry in the future. Most importantly, how they are preparing their business for digital transformation and disruption in the future. I'm your host, Jason Tan, and thank you for listening.
Good morning, Carol. Welcome to the Analytics Show podcast. I'm so excited to have you here today, and I hope you are enjoying the sunshine and your break in Sydney, all the way from Singapore.
Good morning, Jason, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to be on your podcast.
Well, the pleasure is mine. Now, I am going to ask you a little bit about the article that you write. I've been reading quite a bit of the works that you wrote. That is this article you wrote for Oracle AI on 6 steps to building a powerful customer analytic team in 2019. What was it like back then for you to write about all these?
So when I looked at the students and even in industry on how they were tackling analytical problems, I saw that there were some key things that were sometimes missing from their analysis. And one of the key things was particularly to know your objective. Many industries would start off analyzing data just because they have lots of data and they would do some analysis without understanding what is the question they want to answer. What are the business needs or the business issues they want to understand? And I think that is the first thing that you need to do, because without any goal, without any business goal, it's very difficult to come to a solution. What actually ends up happening is that the students or the interns or the data scientists ends up doing analysis paralysis. You know, they want the best solution and they would just keep on analyzing without getting anywhere. The next thing that I think is very important is tracking the metrics. So many companies will do analysis, will execute the recommendations, but they will not track how well is the model performing. For example, if the bank officer wants to understand which customers will be credit worthy, right? They may have a perfectly good model, execute the model, but they won't track how many of the customers that we, for example, gave a credit did actually pay up the amount of money that they borrowed. And it's only through tracking the metrics that they can understand how well the model is able to identify creditworthy customers in this case. In the third tip is to analyze the data. Now, analyze the data can take many forms. As a data scientist, our first step would be to clean the data. And this, of course, I think many people know, garbage in, garbage out. So it's very important to clean the data. The data is never ready for analysis. And one of the best ways to analyze the data and clean the data is to visualize the data. Through visualizations, we can easily identify outliers or understand the patterns in the customer data. And once we understand how clean the data is, we understand the patterns, we next have to do some analysis to derive insights from the data. And typically, we want to do some hypothesis testing. For example, if you want to compare who's likely to churn versus which customer is not likely to churn, when we do the analysis, we want to use simple summary statistics to determine and compare churners versus non-churners in such a way that once we've done this hypothesis testing and in some cases even do correlation analysis, where we're looking at variables that are related to each other, we have a much better idea on which customers are likely to churn even before we do our modeling. So one tip I'd like to say is that analyze the data, deep dive deep, ask the right questions. Why is this happening? And do further analysis to understand which are the key variables that drive, in this example that I'm giving, is churn. Because typically when we start with analysis, there may be 40, 50 variables in the model, but certainly not all 50 variables are related to churn. It's only through deep analysis that we can understand the significant variables. The fourth one is to evaluate the model. So in data science, we often say, don't build one model, build a couple of models, three or more models, so that we can better compare the models in terms of their efficiency, how long they take to run, in terms of the variables that are significant, which ones are more practical and more cost efficient for the business, and also overall, which ones give you good accuracy in terms of identifying, in this case, let's say, which customers are going to churn. So evaluating the model is very important, because once we are able to do that, we're then able to determine which is the best model. When I say evaluating the model, just to give you some ideas what we'd look at, we look at which variables are significant. Are all the variables significant? If not, we want to remove variables that are not highly related to your variable of interest. We'd also want to make sure that the signs of our models are the correct signs, because if they're not the correct signs, then our interpretation of the model will be incorrect. And most importantly for our classification and prediction models, most models want us to identify multicollinearity, which is very important. What is multicollinearity? It is when two variables are highly correlated. So when we're building models such as logistic regression models, multiple linear regression models, we want to avoid multicollinear variables. We want to avoid variables that are highly correlated with each other, because when this problem exists, we find that the model is not generalizable to the unseen data. The fifth step is to take action. Predictive models represent a snapshot of what is currently happening in the business and what is likely to happen in the future. And they are never static. They are continuously changing and may even decay over a long period of time, moving from a highly accurate predictive model to a highly inaccurate predictive model. And it's this dynamic nature of the model that we will find that the predictive models, it's critical that businesses monitor these changes so that it can adapt their marketing and sales strategies. We also find that over time, the customer analytics system will include new customer profiles, new segments, new response rates. And so it's important that the analyst can determine when the prediction tool is no longer accurate, or when the marketing campaign is no longer effective, so that the proper steps are taken to modify the customer prediction support system. And the sixth step is to automate. So in other words, once the models are performing well and revenue is growing, it's time to automate your system by integrating the customer data into the business processes and then within the business strategy. And the benefits of automating your customer analytics system is that it will allow triggers to be set up, and that will alert the analysts when unacceptable changes in the model accuracy occurs. And once changes in the model accuracy occurs, this should be communicated to the business stakeholders. And since the promotional spending and the business strategy as a whole will need to be adjusted with the reduced model accuracy. So that's the gist of why we would automate more to set up the alerts, and so that proactive steps can be taken from the business side based on the changes in the model accuracies.
I think that was a really great six-step framework to follow. I love it. Now, I got another question for you in terms of the numbers and numerous papers that you have written over the years. Has any of the research topic in particular stay with you longer than the others that you just find fascinating, that you would just keep going back and going back?
Yes, I'm very passionate about stocks. So one of the papers that I wrote early was in 2012. I decided to look at both technical and fundamental analysis. So typically, if you around that time, you found that the traders were more either looking at technical. When we say technical, we're looking at the nature of the stock price, how it changes over time. When we speak about fundamental analysis, we are talking about how the stock's financial ratios, financial health changes over time. So I decided I didn't see any papers where both technical and fundamental analysis was taken into account when choosing the best stocks.
Wow, I think that would make a really make you a really good quant analyst in the financial market. Now, moving on, please share with us a bit more about the Data Analytic Consulting Center at National University of Singapore, which is the place that you currently work at?
Yes, so the Data Analytics Consulting Center came about when the National University of Singapore introduced the Data Science Analytics program. It's a four-year degree program, the first data science program in Singapore in 2017. And the idea was that the consulting center will help to balance the curriculum. In other words, the consulting center will be a link between academia, the students, and industry. And why we needed the link was that the National University of Singapore wanted the data science program to be practical. In other words, while keeping the statistical theories and mathematical rigor, the students will also be able to have a more balanced degree where they'll have opportunities for solving real world problems. Let me just extend that in the sense that how will the students be able or get opportunities for solving real world problems? One, with the consulting center being the link with industry, we have a lot of reach across many different sectors. And through our relationships with our clients, we are also able to offer our students internships with these companies. That's one. Two, the consulting center on its own also runs consulting projects with industry clients in the data science industry. And so we invite our students to join in on our consulting projects. And this gives our students the opportunities to actually see what types of questions industry is asking. They're also able to learn how to ask the right questions to better understand the objective of the company. And through this consulting project, we find that our interns become much more prepared for the real world because they get the opportunity to not only analyze the data, they also get the opportunity to present to the clients as well as write reports. Another way in which the consulting center serves the National University of Singapore is that we run hackathons and we give our students opportunities to participate in hackathons. Now, these hackathons are really quick-paced analysis of problem statements from industry. And how it helps our students is that our students get to work in teams, that's one. Two, they get to learn how to think on their feet because with the hackathons, they have to solve the problems in a very short space of time. So they get to also challenge each other and compete with each other, which the students really like to do. Besides the hackathons, we also give our students the opportunities within the class. We invite guest lecturers to give a presentation on how data science has been applied within the industry. They share with the students on the challenges that the industry is experiencing and how the company and the data scientists overcome these analytical challenges. And the students really like this guest lecturing because they are given opportunities to ask firsthand the data science experts questions that they may have about the industry. The student learns more about the industry and also is able to interact and understand the job opportunities as well that are available to them as data scientists. So yes, we also, one other thing to do is we develop short courses for industry. In that way, we also help to enhance the data literacy understanding of customers and clients in industry by giving different workshops, whether it be on R programming or Python programming, or even how to solve business problems in a practical manner, whether it be based on customer problems or product problems, etc.
I love it. I think that is a good bridge between the academic and for the student with the commercial world. Now, share with us about your role as the director for this Data Analytics Consulting Center and also as a professor in the Department of Statistics and Data Science at the NUS.
Yes, so my role as the director of the Data Analytics Consulting Center is one, of course, to get projects so that my team has projects to work on. So it's through my networking. Well, part of my job is to also network very well, to network with the right people at the right levels. I try and network across all the full spectrum, whether it be the startups or the small franchises or also with the large private companies and also with the public government companies. So this, we work across all types of companies. I also, my job is also to work with, of course, the paperwork, which is all the agreements. So understand exactly what is the contract agreement. So basically when the client comes up with their business problem, it's usually just maybe something like, I would like to increase my sales. To write up the proposal, it's not just a one sentence. The objective is to increase the sales of the client. It's much more to that. So what I typically do is break up the project into different milestones and describe what each milestone task will be and what the deliverable will be and so on. And besides developing the contract and the objectives of the project, my role is also, of course, to manage the team, ensure that there are enough resources, enough interns, we have postdoctoral students that are also on the projects, and then make sure that the timelines and deliverables are all able to be met. So in other words, make sure if we're going a bit slower to speed up the process, if we're going too fast to, you know, make sure that the team slows down appropriately. So it's very challenging in the sense that sometimes even while you have a contract in place, you have the task involved through the discussions and through the interaction and integrating of data, we may sometimes come up with some hidden knowledge or hidden information. So it's also about managing the new information that we get and how we sometimes may have to, you know, tweak and modify the objectives of the project. But all in all, I think it is a very exciting and interesting industry to be in because each consulting project is different. It offers its own challenges. And it's challenges that the true data scientist really enjoys. But after achieving and successfully completing the project, the satisfaction is really a good feeling.
I love it. Now, as you mentioned, in your role at the university, you present at a number of workshops. Can you share more about the main topic that you often?
Yeah, so in the workshops, I often speak on, some of them are just more, depends on the audience. So when the audience is in, let's say, more management role, CEOs, then my talk is more on strategy. So how to, for example, build data analytics consulting team or how to implement data science within the organization. So when the audience is more data science audience, then of course my talk is more on maybe tips for building a machine learning algorithm. Or when my talk is more for the, you know, marketers or industry professionals, then it will be more on how to interpret different models. So not focusing on the technical part of the models, but more looking at the outputs and how to interpret it and understand what are the challenges, how to overcome the challenges. And sometimes there are also limitations. And so to express those also ways in which we can overcome different limitations. Sometimes it's limitations due to maybe small sample size. How do you overcome it, for example? And then I will discuss ways in which we can actually, for example, generate synthetic data to make sure that the sample size of the data is sufficient for the models to run. Yeah, so I've spoken on topics in the stock investment area, of course. So the same papers that I have out, typically I also do present at conferences. So I've written papers and presented in stock investments. I've also, in conferences, presented on in the shipping environment. For shipping, I've worked on projects that is how do we reduce carbon dioxide emissions? So I've looked at different types of vessels, the container vessels, tanker vessels, what is the carbon dioxide emissions from different types of vessels, and also understood the impact of the carbon dioxide emissions and looking at ways on how to reduce these carbon dioxide emissions. So another topic that I've also worked on and presented is in the healthcare, where I've worked on a project in rheumatoid arthritis, for example. We looked at the hand and feet image classification, where the models that we built are actually able to score the joint erosion, the joint narrowing, the overall damage of the joints. Based on these image classification models, we are able to score the damage and then understand and score each patient as to whether they have rheumatoid arthritis or not. And these projects have actually been quite interesting, especially the image classification projects. So we're actually working with the industry partner now to try and commercialize, for example, that project for the algorithm using the classification of and scoring of hand and feet joints for rheumatoid arthritis patients.
That is fascinating. I think the image recognition is certainly one thing that the modern data science really excels on due to the advance of technology and also the computer power that we have got. I would love to hear more about it when that goes to the market. To close this podcast interview, these are my two usual questions that I ask all of my guests. Number one is, what is your most important first principle?
Yes, so for me, it's about creating new AI technology that matters. In other words, it's creating technology that will benefit the people. And this technology should be innovative and should increase the productivity. So while at the same time, the costs are reduced and time is reduced. So I started working on projects, for example, that number one, builds an algorithm that I spoke about earlier that scores hand and feet joint damage for rheumatoid arthritis patients. This project, I feel, matters because rheumatoid arthritis is actually quite prevalent in many countries, right? What is the benefits? The benefit is that the patients, of course, will be able to get their results of their x-rays much more quicker, and which means that the doctors are also able to provide and diagnose treatment for the patients more efficiently. Another algorithm that I'm also coming back to that first principle of AI technology that matters, I'm also looking at the brain MRI scan images. So these are not x-rays, these are scans. So slightly different in the algorithm. This would be a 3D algorithm that we would have to, that we are building. And our focus for this project is more to identify patients with mild cognitive impairment, which is also termed early dementia. Now, we're living in an age where there's a high, almost 30% of the population is elderly. And dementia, I don't know, it just seems to be so much more higher than the percentage of people that are getting dementia. So again, for me, this is a project that matters. It will contribute and benefit people in society. Yeah, I know I gave a mouthful, but yeah, I'm quite passionate on this work that we are doing. And I just wanted to demonstrate that, yeah, when I say AI in technology matters, I truly mean that when I choose my projects.
I think they can do great work, especially to save lives. So I look forward to hear more about that. In fact, I always want to find more the data science practitioner in the healthcare industry to come onto the show. So I probably will look up to you to get a few recommendations if possible. Moving on to my last question is, what is one book that you have read and thought it would have been better for your younger self to have?
Okay, so this, of course, is a book I read recently. It's Deep Learning with Python by Francois Chollet. The book was written in 2017, but I only, you know, this year started reading this book. I've read it cover to cover. It's really detailed in terms of not only the practical side of why we do each part of the process, the pre-processing and, you know, how we augment the data, why we do it. It's really detailed in terms of the tips, in terms of the challenges that we can come across. For example, the algorithm may not converge. What do you need to do if it does not converge? We may not have enough sample size to build the model. How do you increase the sample size? There are a lot of challenges when developing these deep learning models. And so I found this book very valuable in the sense that it doesn't only give you the tips on how to handle the potential challenges, it also gives you the sets of code to run to not only handle the challenges, but even to run the full machine learning, deep learning flow for, in this case, where I'm interested in image classification. So I highly recommend this book to anyone who's interested in deep learning technology. It's fully rounded in terms of Python code, in terms of the technical modeling or setup of a deep learning model, and in terms of the practicalities of the model as to when you're evaluating the model, it gives you good details as to whether the model is good or not, and not only based on accuracies. There are lots of visualizations that are performed to determine just how good the model performance is.
That is a one recommendation for the book. Thank you so much, Carol, for coming on to the Analytics Show podcast and share your experience. I particularly enjoy all of those discussion about the data science applying in the healthcare industry. I wish I can learn more. It's certainly beyond my expertise. I know very little, so I wish I could learn more. Once again, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on your show. Thanks, Jason.